Bob, I was happy to be able to rhyme Steely McBean and Tom Crean in a little ditty there during the intermission. Remember Tom Crean?
Yes, Tom Crean. Good voice, good analyst now. Do you ever watch him?
Not the funnest guy to interact with when he was a coach.
No, he was a very intense. And if you watch him on the sidelines, he constantly paced up and back and up and back and up and back. Every coach has a different style. His was more intense than most.
Well, let's get back to the
Steelers.
Why
did you bring that up?
Because I was just singing that song to you. I enjoyed the song, even though you didn't.
No, I do enjoy your songs, actually. And this is one of my big problems with your songs. Mm-hmm. I hear them. I take them with me. They travel with me. So that when I'm in the shower later, Lisa will say, "What are you singing?" I said, "It's a Starkey song. I don't know. It's got in my head. I want everything for nothing for me," and all this stuff.
Do you have that one limits? Just
later,
in case,
later
Bob's
in the
version.
Day, yeah. I start doing this out of the blue. I mean,
I know.
It's remarkable.
I'm sorry.
I know. So now I'm going to be singing about Steely McBean and Tom Crean.
I've done everything for Mousy. He done nothing for me.
As I've said, Bob, when some people are nervous, they bite their nails. Others smoke. I burst out into nonsensical limericks. Go to hell, Mulsey. And limericks, yes.
You have to do a Yelp on the air live. Normally you do it in the background when someone else is reading, like me.
Yeah.
And then you can hear it, and it does become a little disturbing.
Yeah.
You need to do it live, just so people understand.
Think of me.
If it's disturbing to you, think how
it must be for me.
How does Susie handle that?
I can't do any of this in the house. That's another reason why I act out when I come in the studio. Bob Pompeiani sitting across from me, limits, feeling good in an Aaron Rodgers jersey today, to my left behind the glass, and a bunch of calls that we'll get to in a moment. First, Bob, wanted to get to a couple topics. Did the Steelers still need a number two receiver, or did Calvin Austin make a loud statement that he is that guy?
I think, dating back to last year, he was a guy who elevated his role. If you remember, they brought in a bunch of veteran guys, and they thought those guys were going to help, like Van Jefferson, and it just didn't. Williams was brought here later in a trade. But Calvin Austin was the one guy who continually made plays, and I think they liked that from him. And now we saw it yesterday. Roman Wilson, who I thought made some plays in preseason, and by virtue of that would get more opportunity. People talked about him in training camp, how he was doing good things, and yet no targets. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me because there were a lot of guys targeted. But Calvin Austin, when need be, he made plays when Aaron Rodgers was looking for somebody who was open, and he was open.
But who cares about Roman Wilson today? They put up 34 points. One of the problems going into the game was everybody saying Mount Washington's going to be a weapon. You watch. All the tight ends will be weapons. DK, Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson's been playing well. You're going to have guys coming out of the backfield. Even Scotty Miller, all he does is make plays. To me, it doesn't matter. What's it matter today that Roman Wilson didn't get any targets? Who cares? Ben Skoranek did, and he scored a touchdown.
He did. And if you're going to spread the ball around, I mean, their tight ends are going to get a lot of opportunity. And if you saw, the way Seattle plays, I think San Francisco tight end got a lot of action. Both of those guys. I think you'll be seeing more targets to the tight ends, and it doesn't matter how they're configured, I suppose. The only thought process there is you want somebody on the other side of the field who could take some pressure and double teams away from DK Metcalf.
Because
it's going to happen all year.
I don't know that you'll get double teams, but you're going to get, I think, production from Calvin Austin. He had two huge plays late in the first half.
Plus a pass interference call late in the game.
And he should have had two. And all we'd be talking about today, well, one of the things we'd be talking about today, if Boswell doesn't hit that 60-yarder, is Calvin Austin getting interfered with right before that. And it was blatant interference, and Rodgers said we got hosed on a call. They certainly did.
But they got a PI in that same drive that he created.
Okay,
and
that doesn't mean officials can't get two.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to do it, and it wasn't as...
Well, they should have. It was blatant interference.
I don't know if it was blatant. I looked at that a lot of times.
Limits, I thought it was blatant.
I thought it was interference as well, yeah. There was a decent amount of contact.
But let me ask you guys this, because the flags, we all expect flags. Every receiver throws his arm up, give me a flag, holding every play. If you want a game that's going to slow down to a crawl, you're going to get a lot of... I appreciated yesterday there weren't that many flags. There weren't
well,
that many holding.
Well, that was great. And the infighting between receivers and defensive backs, all that's fine. But you can't blatantly hold a guy on the biggest play of the game, Bob.
Well, if he didn't get the PI call earlier, I think he may have gotten that one. But he got one, and they weren't going to give him two. And
well,
I think
either way, it's more proof that he's doing his job.
He is doing his job, absolutely. Yeah. But generally, you don't want a flag on every time there's a pass down the field.
No, but I want one when the game's on the line and a guy gets blatantly interfered with.
He got one. And
that doesn't mean he can't get two.
I understand. But again, you talk about holding. You know, we go through this all the time on TJ Watt. What level does the hold become?
By the way, I hate to say this, Bob, but Broderick Jones blatantly held on Skowronek's touchdown. Go back and watch it.
Oh, I saw a lot of holding. But my point is, I'm okay with that as long as it's consistent by the officials. If they're going to let it go, unless it's absolutely egregious,
yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'd rather see fewer flags. I don't like flags every time
I turn
around.
Well, one of the things this offense did yesterday that the Steelers have been unable to do a lot in recent years is find mismatches and exploit them. And one was Brandon Stevens, who was he wasn't very good yesterday anyway, against Calvin Austin. It was a disaster for that dude, not only against Austin, but they clearly targeted Brandon Stevens.
Yeah, and they should have. He was the guy who was, not as well known and certainly not as well qualified as some of the other guys they have in their secondary. So that was, you have to do that. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers knows all about that too. That's one thing about him. He'll know tendencies of guys and guys to pick on. He'll look in that direction.
It's a huge part of it. Football Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll get to the Cam Hayward situation, including some of his comments after the game in a moment. First Limits, let's go back to the lines, shall we?
Let's do it. Let's go first to George. He's in North Carolina. He wants to put some positivity out there.
Hello, George.
What up, fellas? I'm happy today. And like most of your fans, I'm drinking wine and not squashing grapes. And like Tomlin said...
Are you drinking wine already? Because it sounds like you're on a high.
Man, you should go to Florida and see Ron Cook.
I'm not drinking wine.
You can drink with Ron Cook at 10 a.m. Go ahead.
Like Tomlin says, I'm appreciative of their efforts. You know what I'm saying? What is the state of the Steelers Nation or the world where we win a great game, one of the best games we've had in the last 3 or 4 years, and we're complaining about developing the offensive line and talking about the platform on which Aaron Rodgers throws the ball? He had 4 touchdowns. What are we talking about? I mean, what are we talking about? It's driving me crazy. I expected it, but I won't walk down that road. I rewatched the game last night. We won late, 60-yard field goal. Boz should get his money. Boz played great. The first field goal was 56 yards, but no one's really talking about that because he does it like it's just like ice water in his veins.
Yeah.
Comes back, gives a 60-yard field goal. Bob, I called you a couple weeks ago on the Saturday. There was a whole lot of energy around why people complain about Cam's money. You know what I'm saying? But here's the world I'm living in. We won. We're not coming out back-to-back Super Bowls where you can be discouraged about the win. You know what I'm saying? We won. We haven't won a playoff game in like almost like a decade, seemed like, and we came off and we're now playing offensive football, which is where the game has changed to. The other stuff you can worry about later. Can we have Steeler victory Monday and not be like analyzing the small stuff? Broderick Jones is going to struggle because we don't chip that much like a lot of other teams. So,
That's a good point.
Are we doing here?
I expected more of that. I expected more help on that side for him, and it wasn't available. No, and you're right. I mean, it's – and I don't think we're trying to do that, but you talk
not
over.
You, not you.
No, but I'm
talking
about you
talking about the callers, Bob. He's talking about the callers.
Right,
although there are
callers.
Plenty of things to we
right.
can't get through a show without talking about Broderick Jones and the defense.
Right.
That's
it's,
what we
it
do.
It is a legitimate thing, just because it has to get better, and we're not. It's 1 week. I'm very clear about saying that things happen over time. You have to evaluate. Can't do it on 1 week. Although that's not a good start for him, but it's overcome by the fact that Rodgers is smart and knows how to get open and make things happen.
Yeah, Broderick is not in the store. Here's my thing. I was thinking the team, I have bet, the season bet, the Steelers are going to go under 9 wins. So I am pessimistic. I was pessimistic going into the game. I've got money on us going under the 9 wins.
That strikes me as surprising given your attitude.
Happy. That's right. So I'm not rooting against the team trying to win some money. It's not like I didn't bet enough money where it's going to cost me anything, right? It's just like a fun thing to do. But my point is, I'm happy, even though I expected something totally different and bet something totally different, but I look out there and see an offensive product I hadn't seen in 5 years, even, I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time. We're going up and down the field. And people want to talk about, like, oh, but they fumble the ball. Okay, it happens every game. Somebody makes a mistake every game, right? They didn't help us. Then what did we help ourselves? He created the fumble. That's NFL football. If you only watch Steeler games, you're thinking we're helping ourselves. I mean, everybody's helping us. We played to win the game. We won the game. I mean, I don't understand. Watch all the games. I mean, Dallas and Philly. Philly barely beat Dallas. Kansas City lost.
Bengals barely won.
Running out of bounds right before the half and save some time. There are going to be mistakes made. You got to figure out how to win the end. We figured out a way to win the end. It's not ideal. We'd like to have gotten a 40-yard field goal rather than 60, but Boz would have made it from 68 possibly.
I hear you. So I'd be happy today.
Here? What are we doing here? Break out the champagne. What are we doing here? Not ready for champagne yet.
Pretty soon a French martini will come into the picture.
I hear him. That's why I led the show with, that's why I said I'm being very careful about being critical about things like Roman Wilson not getting targets or the run game. I don't give a damn. Give me points every week.
Yeah, but when they don't score a lot and those problems, then we can talk about it. So it's not, I mean, we're not doing it in a way that's, oh my God, the season's in the balance here.
No, we're not saying it at all. Bob. He's talking about the callers calling in. The guy who talked about Aaron Rodgers throwing off platform like it was a bad thing.
Yeah, that was a little out there. Maybe he should be squashing grapes.
He is squashing grapes, that guy, whoever it was. What was the guy's name who called earlier and criticized Rodgers throwing form?
Oh, I don't know. That was George that was very excited.
Yeah, George was great. Good. Next.
Here is James. He's also in North Carolina.
Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on the show. I got to talk to Bob once. Joe, I think this is the first time I've had the privilege to talk to you, and I love the show, and thanks for having me on.
It is a privilege to talk to Joe. You're right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go ahead. Talk to Bob. I know you just felt like you needed to include me, and I appreciate it. Bob's waiting for the conversation. Go ahead.
We both are.
No, Joe, I love you, man. You know, the defense has got to play better. You can at least believe that. The only concerns I have, I guess, Broderick Jones, I mean, I don't know what's going on. If he doesn't get Aaron Rodgers killed, I'll live with it. Darius Slay, I have real worries about him, but we won the ball game. It's such a joy to watch Aaron Rodgers, a professional quarterback, go out there, make plays, change plays at the line of scrimmage, and I just feel so good. And Boz, we trust. I mean, come on, that was a wonderful victory, and I feel good about the team. It's the only thing I haven't heard you guys talk about, the god-awful call against Jalen Ramsey, that penalty he drew. That comes in our segment called Decisions,
which is one of Bob's favorite segments, and you should be listening, too, to that one, Bob. But if you'd like to take that one right now, we could, the Jalen Ramsey call.
Yeah, I don't know what he's supposed to do there. You know, I mean, that's a good point you brought up, the caller, because...
brutally bad call.
I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do. You're trying to make a play. It's not like this is some deliberate attempt to injure someone or whatever they think it was. It wasn't. He was trying to get in low to get
– yes.
Make a play. And then the official had it all. Vinovich, is that who it was?
He got it wrong. Do you have that clip of the WWE heel turn?
I mean, that
limits?
Was crazy.
That was tremendous. And by the way, while we're on that topic, Bob, I very much enjoyed J.J. Watt on the broadcast. I thought he was...
Boy, does he dwarf Ian Eagle. I think he took those two shots.
He makes him look a little small.
You know, he is a big man. If you ever see him, whew, I mean, a big. You wonder how he could run as fast as he does being as big as he is. But I say that about DK Metcalf, too. I'm amazed at his ability to just turn it up to 25 miles an hour, whatever he does.
I thought that J.J. Watt had a really smooth delivery. I thought he was insightful. I thought he was humble. He had a sense of humor about himself. Like when he would call something and it would go the other way right away, he would just laugh. And I didn't think he was biased about TJ at all. He had some good stories about TJ, which he should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he also busted TJ's chops a couple times. And
on a touchdown by Fields, he said, you should be aware of this. He's going to roll out and
I thought he was great.
TJ made that, he bit. He went in when he should have just, you know, held his ground.
Did you like him, J.J. Watt?
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Did you, Limits?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. Him, Ian Eagle always does a really good job of steering the ship.
Outstanding broadcast, in my opinion.
Ian is the heir apparent. He's the guy, you know, whenever Jim decides to not do that anymore. So he's really good at it, too.
How much longer does Ian have, though? You think he still has a good 15 years?
What do you mean? How old is Ian Eagle?
I thought he was like 60.
Well, so what?
So
I'm 65.
Am I limits.
Are you
How
making fun?
I,
is this his
what
elder
is going
abuse?
On
what
here?
Are you doing to
He's
me?
He's 5 years older than me, and I'm 60.
And now
limits.
You're making it sound like
I'm reporting you to personnel.
We're near death.
No, when
what
you,
are you doing?
When you say the next up,
I'm going to cry.
When you say the next up for me, that immediately means like somebody for the next like 20, 25,
no,
30 years.
I mean,
years.
I think INEU, I don't know what he is, but he's, I mean, he does a lot of stuff. He's on the radio. On
Limits,
Westwood
he's
One.
Only 56 years old. If he takes
I apologize for insulting his age.
You
I
insulted
thought he was
my
older.
Age, not his.
I didn't insult either
Bob.
Of you.
No. I didn't
you
insult
just,
Bob.
You took it that way.
I didn't insult Bob.
I didn't insult Bob.
Do you have that from Dom? I love that clip. No. Bob, Limits, this is age discrimination by Limits.
What I'm saying
I didn't
is...
Insult Bob. I didn't insult Bob. I didn't insult Bob.
When Jim decides, because Jim is very active in all things at CBS, I think he's the
how
best.
How old is he?
He's my age, 65. Mm. You know, I don't know how long he plans to do it. I know he plans to do the Masters as long as he can until the 100th Masters. That's his thing that he loves to do. But my point is, he's number two at CBS, and if there's someone who's going to take over, it would be him.
Nance gave that 10-year heads up that hey, I'll be retiring in X amount of years for the Masters.
That's his baby. There, the Masters.
Looking at the photo of JJ Watt and Ian Eagle now, Bob.
Oh, it's
this went on social media all over the place. He's literally twice the size of him. This is like Doran and Crowley.
Only bigger, really.
And what was up with JJ Watt's hair? While we're at it, Bob, did that made a lot of news on social?
Yeah,
media.
I don't know. I don't delve into that. Everybody has different hair concerns.
Feathered and lethal, they called it. Feathered and lethal. I'm not sure what that means.
I would call you feathered and lethal right now. You got it trimmed on the side, I see.
Pretty good,
and
huh?
Do you have some product at the top?
Yeah. I got a lot of compliments on our show last night that I looked thinner.
You do, and it's apparent. And it's going to inspire me.
Are you going to go to personnel and report Limits with me for age discrimination, Bob?
No, I won't go that far.
I think I will.
No, I mean, I know what his point was.
Well, it was nice knowing you guys. I'll see myself out.
Next.
Here is Big C. He's in Fort Myers.
The Big C.
But he hasn't met Ron
yet. You're in Fort Myers with Ron.
Joe, I keep telling you, I got golf tickets whenever you're ready, buddy.
Leave Limits with your number, because I'm going to be coming to Fort Myers. I'm doing a lot of golf this winter and taking a lot of days off.
Well, so am I. So, Austin, you're
it'll be the
be
Jason Mackey show for weeks at a time, Bob.
I will get you guys set up, and Limits has my number. And I have not found Ron. I keep looking at all the bookstores.
Just go to your local bar.
You're not going to find him at the bookstore.
Unless they have a happy hour, you may not find him there. You better.
You won't find him there, so that's the wrong place to look.
Just stop in every bar right around 4 o'clock, happy hour. Wherever there's, find out where the food and booze are free, and that's where Ron will be.
Well, or I'll catch him in his early morning walk somewhere. Maybe I'll just do that as well. Hey, listen, guys, I got to tell you something. I cannot understand why callers are not ecstatic about what we saw from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this has been a long time.
We only had one guy who was critical, and he was out of his mind. Okay. Everybody else is very high and happy on Rodgers. There's other things.
Oh, absolutely.
They're down.
Because he did not only changed a lot of those plays. And I listened to Rodgers' post-game comments, and I've got to believe, listening to him, that there were a lot of plays, especially that touchdown one to Skowronek. I don't believe that is the one that Arthur Smith called. I believe that he saw him open on his fourth read and found him.
That's a good point, because he did go through a progression there, and you saw it where he was looking.
Absolutely.
And he can make that
absolutely
instantly.
Absolutely. If you watch Rodgers go through his progressions, Skowronek was not on the radar, but this is the type of quarterback play that we have been missing. If they can shore up that offensive line, specifically the left side, I think you are going to see something historic, not from the defense, because you're going to see something horrific from the defense if they don't change, but you'll see something historic from the offense. And I agree with Ben Roethlisberger when he said DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers, you're going to see things. Aaron Rodgers is doing things that we have not seen in a long time in this town. We've got to be excited about it. It's week one, people. Let's just give it a chance. Let Aaron Rodgers be Rodgers, and let's just sit back and get some popcorn and enjoy the show.
May I ask what's going on in the background there?
Sounds like popcorn. What's
it does
happening?
It sounds like...
it's raining right now.
Oh.
Sounds like boulders hitting your windshield, not rain.
Well, you know, they say down in Florida, man. It says, if you don't like the weather, give it 30 minutes, it'll change. So that's the way it goes. You know, right now it's 90 degrees and raining, but then it's not about the sun shining, so I don't understand it.
Thank you.
All right, find Ron. That's a great ending. Do us a favor. Find Ron. Go talk to him, and that's your assignment.
Offer him free beer. He'll be your best friend down there.
I will. If you guys get down here, Hampton Lakes at River Hall Golf Course. That's the one I'm going to set you up with.
Bob, I'm in. Thank you, sir. Yeah, and I mean that.
I know you go to Florida quite a bit to play golf.
Yeah, and I'm going to
go there. I just want to play more around here. I don't find
I'd like to
time.
Play with you one time. We spoke at the beginning of the summer, all these invites we got, and we haven't followed through on any of them.
When do we have time?
I have time all the time.
You know what I do? I was there last night until almost 1 in the morning. And
where?
That's work.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you leave, you go play. I wish I could. I can't, so.
I know. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We still haven't gotten to Cam talk. We'll get to more of your calls. Cam Hayward talk about how you feel about him now. Is this just all water under the bridge? And also, our guy and Bob's guy, Chris Hoke, what did he say about Peyton Wilson when you guys did the post-game show, Bob? He said something. I'll tell you next on Pomp and Joe.
All right, we're back with Pomp and Joe. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Joe has something to take care of, so Austin and I will be manning the ship here temporarily. In the meantime, we want to hear from you, your take on the Steelers' win. And it was a good win at 34-32. And I think the bottom line is most people are just happy with the fact that the offense scored points. We have not seen a quarterback play like that since, I said, the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career, really. And he made all the right decisions. You can tell the confidence was there, Austin. There's something about him that translates to other people, and everyone in that locker room has told us that so far.
Yeah, we really haven't seen it since before the elbow injury for Ben. So to be able to see this unfold, it was awesome to watch. It was fun. We don't see a lot of it. And yeah, you could tell that they buy into Aaron Rodgers. You could tell that this meant something to Aaron Rodgers. I found it interesting what Tomlin said after the game, where Jerry Dulac asked him, like, what gave you the confidence that Rodgers could do that? Like, what did you see from Rodgers? And he said, that is what I've been seeing in preparation throughout the entirety of camp. It's just good to finally see it on the field.
And they certainly did see it on the field. When you talk about 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 244 in the air in a debut with a new team, nobody's done that in I don't know how many years it's been, but he sits alone in that department, about 4 touchdowns. I was even looking back to Peyton Manning when he made his first, you know, because he had such big numbers, but he only had 2 touchdown passes in his first game with that team. So Aaron Rodgers immediately has made a statement, but he won't win the Player of the Week, I suspect, because of Josh Allen. If you had your choice between Josh Allen, because these are the three they're talking about, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, or Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert had a great
game. The order
game
I would go is, unfortunately, I think Rodgers is second behind Josh Allen, and Herbert would be third.
I'd say so, just because of the great performance that Josh Allen put together. I mean, that was Herculean again. I didn't think they were going to come back in that game whatsoever. So Rodgers, here's that number, Bob. The list of quarterbacks with 240 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and their team debut over the last 60 seasons, Aaron Rodgers, week 1 against the Jets.
And that's it.
That's
nobody
the
else.
List.
And the fact that he had the best passer rating that we've seen here in 7 years tells you in one game he's made quite a difference. And the confidence certainly exudes. And now you got Seattle coming in, a team which didn't do much yesterday. They got to travel all the way around. You know, we talked about how important this start is. You look at the back part of their schedule, it does get more difficult, and they have to take on a lot of good quarterbacks. And that leads us to the defensive concern of what we saw yesterday. But it is one game. They have a chance to tighten that up. And they also know if their offense can give you that sort of consistent play, then your defense should be better just because you don't have to always be perfect out there.
Yeah, but their defense, like,
I know
that was a disaster.
The alarming thing is because we ended this season watching a team that was giving up all sorts of yards on the ground. They drafted Derek Harmon and Y.A. Black to come in and help with that.
And they picked up right where they left off, Bob.
Yeah, it was not good. And that includes the inside linebackers, too. So all of it has to change. At 412-928-9370, we have callers there. Austin.
Well, let's go to Rob. He's in West Mifflin.
What's up, Rob? Rob, are you there?
Rob? Oh, maybe no Rob.
Maybe he fell asleep. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
There's a pulse.
There's Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Rob.
Hello? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, man. I had it on mute, man. I was talking to my buddy real quick. Yeah, I ain't gonna call. Oh, this, that, listen, they won the game. A lot of people woke up today 0-1. We're 1-0, man. Everybody has things to fix. My main concern is Broderick Jones. Everybody knows that. He looked terrible out there. And right now, you know, I don't even know if that's fixable, man, because, you know, we got to start chipping tight ends in, man. That's going to slow our offense down. But the one thing I want to say is that I called in, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago, a week or two, Sue Lemus was there. I don't know if he was there, Bob, but I said Jalen Ramsey, the addition to Jalen Ramsey on his defense in that back end, he brings that swagger. Like my wife said, oh, is Joey Porter Jr. playing? I said, yeah. But she said, but the good thing is you didn't notice him in a good way or a bad way, which gives him time to grow up and to be a better corner, because he had a lot of pressure when he tried to be a number one, which he never really is, never was. I mean, hopefully he'll be that. But Jalen Ramsey brings a lot of swagger to this defense, man. And I'm telling you now, if we can keep Aaron Rodgers clean, and that's a big if, we can keep him clean and he play all 17 games, we can be a problem, man, because like I said, a lot of people ain't scored 34 yesterday. A lot of people ain't give up 32 neither, but we won the game. Every team has stuff to fix, man.
Well, Buffalo gave up 40, you know, and they won. Yeah. And so they have the same issues. People in Buffalo will be talking about how their defense got skewered by a run game, which was the same thing that when we saw them in the playoffs last year. Baltimore had their way with them, but they made too many mistakes. And that's the thing about Baltimore. They seem to always put themselves in bad situations late in games, and that's on John Harbaugh, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, people don't remember, man. I think it might have been about 2-3 years ago. They were talking about firing John Harbaugh. He may be a game or two away from getting fired. So, you know, he had a lot of work to do up there, too. So, like I said, a lot of people calling in saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers makes the best off-schedule throws in NFL history behind Mahomes, man. Like, literally, go back and look at it. Off-schedule, that's his game. So this one guy called it, oh, the technique. Man, go lay down, buddy, please, because we won the game. We won the game.
The technique is what he does. That's his technique. Thanks for the call, Rob. Appreciate that. Aaron Rodgers can deliver the ball any way he has to. Getting out of the pocket on the run, he keeps his eyes down the field and on his progressions, and he makes the right reads in most cases. If you look at where his all-time numbers are when it comes to interceptions thrown, he's 97th all-time, which means he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. So that's, I think, one of the things that Mike Tomlin was attracted to when they started talking to him, is not only is he prolific, you know, the only question was his age. You know, how much can you expect out of a 41 or 42-year-old? But the one thing he doesn't do is turn the ball over frequently.
No, I mean, he really doesn't. And it's been a little bit more so over the last couple of years, but over the course of his career, I mean, you're talking about somebody that takes care of the ball as much as anybody.
All right, we got more callers. I know they're chomping to talk.
Here's Chris. He's in Tennessee.
Oh, the Titans.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
I'm glad you watched the Steelers and not the Titans. Yesterday was a tough game.
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm driving. In fact, Bob, a couple weeks ago, I have your bubblehead doll displayed prominently on my
Well, I appreciate
that. Anyways, I'm driving back. I'm a pitch season ticket holder, so I was up for the game this weekend. And I'm driving home right now, going through wild, wonderful West Virginia, and I made a point that if I use the restroom, I'm not going to flush the toilet. Anyway, so on the Steelers, it's the first game. You know, there's a lot of things to be fixed. I did like it that the way it ended, the defense apparently seemed to wake up or do something different, and that hit to end the game was pretty nice. So you can't beat that. Regarding Joey Porter, I know he got hurt, but he just did not seem – he really hasn't shown much to me other than being picked first round in the second – or first in the second round or first round late, if you want to call it that. But with Aaron Rodgers on the team, I think that brings a lot to us on the maturity. And, yeah, he's old and he needs some help. And Broderick just didn't have a very good game, and who knows what will happen down the road. But I just say that let's give it the rest of the season, long season. My expectations are not very high, so you know, anything that happens, I'll be satisfied.
Safe travels on your way back to Tennessee. And, you saw at least a Pitt win. I don't know about this week. We got the backyard brawl coming up, and, boy, a lot of the air was taken out of that. And I believe that game day would have maybe been here from ESPN if they had won that game.
Herbstreit confirmed that, too, that game day was going to go there. And then, if West Virginia didn't lose to Ohio, not Ohio State, Ohio.
and very, very just lethargic kind of play altogether. Rich Rodriguez now is going to hear about 13-9 all the way through this week until they play that game. And Pitt, I don't know what the point spread is on it. I'll have to check, but they should be pretty good favorites in this game based on what we've seen so far. West Virginia is certainly struggling with a new administration down there. 412-928-9370 is the number to call as we continue to roll along here. We're also going to get into, you know, some college football talk, and I want to bring this up too, because Austin, it's a good local story. May not have gotten all the coverage because of what's going on with football, but Nathan Smith, who is from this area, and he's a very decorated amateur golfer, he was the captain of the United States Walker Cup team, which this week took down Great Britain and Ireland over there at Cypress Point in Pebble Beach area. Really good accomplishment for him and all these young golfers that are coming up. USA's got some really talented golfers, so congrats to him. I think that's a big story that doesn't get a lot of play, but I wanted to get it out there if I could.
And Pebble Beach, too, to be able to have that type of success on that type of course.
Yeah, that's...
That's and saying something.
Yesterday, the fog was rolling in, I saw, and it's hard to even see in that stuff because it comes out of nowhere. But it's fun to be in if you're going to go there. Some people want to play there and play in the misty conditions. I don't.
How does the fog affect the ball? Like if you hit into the fog?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it doesn't affect anything because I don't hit it as far as those guys. But if you did, it may have a negative impact because, you know, it's moisture in the air.
Yeah.
So I don't know. All I know, and we get CB58 who helps me out. I asked about the Pitt line. He says Pitt is 5.5-point favorites. That may be too low. I expected it to be around 7.5.
I can't believe they actually lost to Ohio. Like, look, it's not going to be immediate for Rich Rod. It's not going to be a quick turnaround. But still, you would imagine, first and foremost, why is WVU playing at Ohio? How was that scheduled? I'm pretty curious. But I just never thought with that type of leadership and culture that's being built that that would be possible.
No, well, it's taking a starch out of this game a little bit for sure.
Oh,
and
yeah, there's no doubt.
If Pitt go down there and struggle, then people are going to come with a conclusion. You struggle against West Virginia, they lost to Ohio, and you hear all this sort of stuff. But I saw a revamped Arch Manning, and I realized, you know, they weren't playing Ohio State. But still, he came back and 4 touchdowns in a very quick amount of time. I always say about these guys, you got to let it go. And I know we talk weekly about college football quarterbacks because the Steelers are certainly be looking at one probably next year in the first round. But did you change your, we haven't, again, when you're playing lesser opponents, it's hard for me to gauge
right.
What's going on. Arch Manning, though, is still going to be a very, very high pick, if not the top pick.
Yeah, I wasn't overreacting to what happened at Ohio State. Like, it's his first real start. His previous other starts weren't against big-time competition. So I still have him in my top 5. He's number 3 for me. Like, I didn't like what I saw from Aller on Saturday. He didn't play very well.
Next. No, he was struggling against that team.
He did not play well against FIU. They figured it out in the second half. Nussmeier, I thought, was all right for LSU.
Not as good as week one.
People keep trying to buy in the Lenora Sellers and singing his praises. And I think he's pretty good. I'm just not all the way there yet with him. John Mateer is a name that is starting to rise up some boards as well. I think he's just a little bit too much of a runner. So that's a little bit of the expanded board at the moment.
You never know. Some guys do get in there and you don't expect to hear their names, and all of a sudden they put together good seasons. And when you beat ranked teams, that helps along the way. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You can also join Chris Muller at the Verizon store in Monroeville on Thursday from 4 to 6. Verizon is registering customers for the chance to win a pair of tickets to the game against Seattle this weekend, along with a basket of black and gold merchandise. Verizon is the official 5G provider of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as far as the weather is concerned, well, sunny today, high of 71, low of Zach Frazier, that would be 54. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Again, it's Myers Law Group saying 71 for the high. It's a beautiful day, but if you want to get out, this is the day to do it. All right, Austin, we have more calls on the way. We can expand the conversation. I don't know if you saw, because this was going on opposite the Steelers, but Bubba Chandler got blown up yesterday to the tune of 9 runs.
Yeah, not good.
Not good. In his first major league start, we'll talk about that. And Milwaukee's a really good team. I can see them winning a World Series just based on how they play. They don't have all the star power the other teams have, but they play in a way that makes them very dangerous, I think.
They kind of remind me of those Cardinals teams in like 13, 14, 15, where guys you never heard of before come up and then drive in like 60, 70 runs.
They all have a role. They all know it. And they have very good pitching as well. We'll take a break here. Coming back with more Pomp and Joe right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.